She'd been worrying about that. "But you'll have to help," said her mother. "You do the horns, the tail, and the hooves."
"Hooves?" said Belle.
"Well, of course. All devils have hooves." Somehow, it was finished in time, and it was magnificent. Layer on layer of spangled scarlet flames. Plump, red felt horns fixed to an Alice band. Cunning little hooves of crimson satin which fitted over her button boots like demonic spats. And best of all, a three-pronged tail that would be perfect for spiking air balls and Lyndon Traherne's pride. Then, on the morning of the party, disaster struck. Belle got her monthly cramps, what her mother called her petite amie, an odd name for bleeding and stomachache and appalling embarrassment. She told her parents that she had a headache and sneaked a Dover's powder from the bathhouse cupboard. She didn't want anyone to know. She hated the idea of growing up. "But you're nearly 14, her mother would say when she was trying to persuade Belle into grown-up combinations, or gently mooting the notion of school in England.
13 and 5 months, Belle would snap back. "That's nowhere near 14.
But even 13 sounded too old. She lay curled on her bed, watching the tree ferns dip and sway against the louvers, and listening to the slap of the servants' slippers and the chup-chup-zee of the sugar quits under the eaves. She felt sore and churned up inside, and that wasn't the worst of it. Ever since she'd started getting the cramps, she'd developed a terrible compulsion, an irresistible urge to picture every man she saw without any clothes. It didn't matter who it was. Old Bravely the cook, her dashing Uncle Ben, even Papa. And she knew very well what to imagine, because last year she'd seen a group of field hands cooling off at the swimming hole by the Arethusa Road. At the time they'd looked so happy that she'd simply envied them their freedom. But a few months later, when the cramp started to come, the memory had returned to haunt her. It was awful. Shameful. There must be something wrong with her. She slept away the morning and felt a little better, and got dressed and went to the party. She didn't win. Everyone agreed that hers was by far the best costume, better than Dodo Cornwallis's genial large-footed fairy, better than Cissy Irving's slyly pretty little Pierrot, better even than Lyndon Traherne's steeplechase jockey, in genuine racing silks made specially for him with red spurs and soft boots of Italian kid. But it was Lyndon who won.
"Because," said old Mrs. Pitcathley, the senior judge, "boys can be jockeys, but girls can't be devils."
Her mother shot Belle an anxious look, but she was too proud to let her feelings show. She put on a smile and gave Mrs. Pitcathley a regal nod, while in her head she was taking aim with Papa's rifle and blowing a great hole in Lyndon's narrow, silk-clad chest. He didn't need the inkstand. His Papa was the richest man in Trelawney. Lyndon could buy 10 inkstands out of his pocket money. He'd probably just lose this one on the steamer when he went back to school. For her mother's sake, Belle sat through the tea under the awning with the other children. She even managed a square of sweet potato pie with coconut syrup. Then, when the Reverend Pruitt was setting up the magic lantern display, she fled. She took the path by the river, into the airless green tunnel of the giant bamboo, until she reached her special place under the duppy tree. Her heart was thudding with rage. She peeled back her stocking and scratched a tick bite on her knee until it bled. Snatched a handful of ginger lilies and crushed them, breathing in the sharp, spicy scent to make her eyes sting. Why had she chosen the devil? If she'd picked any other costume, she would have won, and Papa would have got his inkstand. It was all her fault. Mosquitoes whined in her ears, but she let them bite. The rasp of the crickets was deafening.